हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसारिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Okay, so we finished the Rajasuya sacrifice, and then Yudhishthira saw off all the kings and all that. And so everyone went back to their places. Even Krishna then asked for permission to leave. So then we come to chapter 18, Duryodhana's envy. Duryodhana had also decided to stay on for a while in Indraprastha with Shakuni. The prince burned from envy of the Pandavas' success. They had far exceeded him in their power and influence. Duryodhana could not stand the fact that Yudhishthira was now the emperor of the world, a position he felt should belong to him. He feels it should belong to him, but he hasn't done it. As soon as Yudhishthira got his position and all that, he was encouraged, then he established himself. So Duryodhana didn't make that effort. He just somehow or another expects it'll just happen for him. He gazed with astonishment at the unlimited wealth piled in Yudhishthira's treasury. The Kaurava had never seen such opulence. The Maya Sabha especially intrigued Duryodhana, and he wanted to take a closer look. Thus he and Shakuni examined the hall. The Kaurava saw celestial designs he had never seen anywhere else. He was amazed by the workmanship and splendor of the palace. It was as if he had gone to the heavenly planets. Bright gems sparkled on all sides of the spacious hall, and Duryodhana could feel a cool breeze that carried a mixture of celestial fragrances. Right, so just how they design it, then it would carry, the breezes would move, the air would move, and all that, depending upon how you make the heights of the floor and all the different things like that. Ivory and gold seats stood by the side of lotus-filled lakes. The walls were inlaid with exquisite carvings depicting the gods and their consorts. Duryodhana slowly made his way through the hall, his many golden ornaments jangling together as he walked. As he saw Maya's intricate and wonderful workmanship, he became even more jealous. He snapped angrily at the palace service walking in front of him. With his golden helmet held high, he walked casually, not trying to show any signs of being impressed. Gradually, he came to the large crystal pool at the center of the palace. The water was perfectly still and clear. At first glance, it appeared to be a continuation of a marble floor leading up to it, and Duryodhana made that mistake. Fully clothed, with his eyes wide open, he walked straight into the water. The Pandavas were standing on a golden balcony above the pond. Seeing Duryodhana falling in with his arms and legs akimbo, Bhima laughed aloud. Some of Krishna's queens were also present, and they too laughed. The Kaurava prince hauled himself out of the lake, helped by Shakuni. He did not even look at the Pandavas or Krishna or his queens. Their laughter was unbearable. Yudhishthira saw Duryodhana's embarrassment and told his brothers not to laugh. Krishna smiled but said nothing as Yudhishthira arranged for dry clothes to be brought and offered to the angry prince. Duryodhana quickly put them on and continued his tour, trying hard to conceal his feelings. Everything was intolerable to him. The magnificence of the palace, the incomparable beauty of the queens who moved about within it, and particularly Draupadi. Duryodhana was still fuming from his failure to win the Panchala princess. She was a jewel among women. She too had laughed when he had fallen into the lake. The Kaurava ground his teeth in agony. As he rounded a bend, he again fell victim to the deceptive designs of the palace. A door had been fashioned in such a way as to appear open when it was actually closed, right? It was made from crystal. Not realizing this, Duryodhana walked straight into it, recoiling in pain as his head crashed against the clear crystal. The stunned prince then avoided another door because he thought it was closed when it was actually open. The palace attendants were struggling to restrain their laughter. Humiliated and angry, the prince stormed out. Yudhishthira felt sorry to see Duryodhana's pain. He tried to console him in various ways, but Duryodhana just laughed, striving to hide his actual feelings. He bade the Pandavas farewell and left for Hastinapur, followed by his large retinue, his mind bent on revenge. Then Krishna also decided to return home. As he was departing, he spoke affectionately to Yudhishthira. O king, cherish all your subjects with ceaseless vigilance and patience. As the cloud is to all creatures, or the large tree to the birds, so should you become the refuge to your dependents. After Krishna departed, the Pandavas approached Vyasadeva, who had not yet left. Yudhishthira asked him if the sacrifice had been successful. The Rishi replied, O Kuru child, this sacrifice will yield great results for 13 years. You shall be the undisputed emperor of this wide earth. But at the end of that period, you will be the cause of a war which will rid the world of Kshatriyas. Yudhishthira was alarmed. Seeing his expression, Vyasadeva said, Do not be aggrieved. No one can overcome the influence of time. Everything is arranged by the Supreme for the ultimate good of all. This war will be Duryodhana's fault, not yours. I shall now go to the mountains, but you will see me again in times of need. The Rishi then stood up and left, surrounded by all the other sages. When they were gone, Yudhishthira spoke to his brothers. The sages' words cannot prove false, but I do not wish to be the cause of suffering in the world. From this day on, I shall not speak a harsh word to anyone. I shall also always practice virtue and shall see no difference between my own sons and those of others. I shall follow my elders' commands without the least hesitation. In this way, I shall avoid disagreements, for they are the cause of war. Right? So he's just seeing what can cause difficulties and that can lead ultimately to war, so all those things he'll avoid. And in so doing, then he behaves very nicely, very cultured, and very gentle. Yudhishthira continued to think about Vyasadeva's words. It seemed that the Lord's plan was unfolding. Although the Pandavas had asserted their rule over the world, it was still a fact that many impious kings were exploiting the earth's resources. Yudhishthira saw at the sacrifice that many had supported Shishupal against Krishna, although they were afraid to oppose him openly. Who knew what evil schemes Duryodhana and his brothers would dream up? All this was no doubt Krishna's arrangement to rid the world of ungodly elements. Yudhishthira remained immersed in thought of Krishna and his mysterious plans. Right? So Krishna has his plans how things will unfold. And people at all times have their free will how they want to take part in the situation. See, is that we're not in control really of the situation. We're in control of what we do in a situation. You know, because that the sun comes up in the morning, we're not in control and decide that, no, it should stay dark. But what we do we get up in the morning? Do we sleep? You know, do we sit and read? Do we do sadhana? Do we do some work? You know, whatever it is, that's our choice, what we do in the situation. So we try to make arrangements to see that situations go the way we want, but ultimately we're not really in control of the situations. We're in control of what we do in the situation. What we do in the situations, that then will affect our future situations. Like if I behave properly now, my future situations will tend to be that of more favorable environments. You know, and I behave badly in the situation now, it'll create in the future bad environments. So now if I have gotten a good environment in the future from behaving good, do I still get good, behave good, or do I get proud and now behave bad? Or I behave bad, I got a bad situation, now do I continue to behave bad and it make it worse, or do I behave good and improve it? So this is where we have our choices. But you'll see a lot of times in here, Yudhishthira is understanding that, and then he's trying to do his best. So he adjusts his behavior to try to act his best in the situations he's in. But as we'll see with Duryodhana, he just thinks that I make my endeavors and still I'm not the emperor of the world. So then what's the point of that? Fate just makes it go this way. There's nothing I can do about it. But the point is he's making his choices to oppose basically the Lord and the devotees, and then wonders why things don't go well for him. So that's the difficulty, is that if it goes the way they want, then they were just being bold and doing their best. And if it doesn't go, then it's not their fault and everything like this. So you see, his father's like that, he's like that. As he made his way back to Hastinapur, Duryodhana sat brooding and miserable in the chariot. Shakuni asked, "What ails you, king? Why are you sighing again and again?" The prince looked distractedly at Shakuni. "I am filled with jealousy to see the world under the Pandava's sway. Having witnessed their astounding sacrifice and seeing them shine like gods in heaven, my heart burns day and night. I'm drying up like a shallow pool in the summer sun." Like, so if you have a pool that's not very deep, and in the summertime when it's so hot, it just eventually slowly dries up. Duryodhana gazed out of his chariot at the rolling countryside with its well-tilled fields and blossoming orchards. Groups of villagers stood and watched as the royal procession moved along the road. The prince continued, "When Krishna killed Shishupal, no kings dared to speak. They were all awed by the Pandava's might, or else how could they have tolerated such an injustice?" Right. So you see, as he was supportive in his own way of Shishupal. Right? But point is that you have all these great personalities there, all the sages, all the demigods, you know, Brahma, Shiva, everyone that they might think is more elevated, they're all agreeing with this arrangement for Krishna. And so, but the problem is because they don't respect their authorities, unless it's in line or supportive of what they think, then they think that, oh, it's just that they're just being pushed into this position, they couldn't speak otherwise. Doesn't understand that maybe there's something to learn here, maybe there's something to understand. So we have to see is that maybe these great sages are correct. It means we hear from the Shastra and we follow the Shastra. Who do we hear from? The great sages. Right? Even, you know, at the time when we're born, then we have a debt to the sages because they give us the scriptures and understanding of that. So, but they don't act according to this. So that's what you'll see is a common theme in this demoniac mentality, or this, you know, mundane mentality, is that even though something is not recommended, they'll try to turn it to their position. Duryodhana wrung his hands. "I cannot tolerate it. I shall therefore enter fire, drown myself, or swallow poison. What man who possesses any prowess at all can bear to see his enemies prosper?" Right? Because the point is you have your kingdom, you be happy in your kingdom. They have theirs, and they prosper in theirs. That's it. Point is that you should be happy to know if you behave properly, you get good results. So the king, he may be your enemy, but is he behaving badly in getting all this prosperity? No. Yudhishthira is doing all the right things. And because of that, then things are working out very nicely for him. Of course, it's Krishna's plan, Krishna's will. But you should be happy to know that if I act in a proper way and all that, then things will work nicely for me also. So not appreciating that, then they make all this difficulty for themselves because they somehow or another think it's whatever I want should happen. "How can I ever equal their power and opulence?" Right? Who needs to? You have enough. If you have enough and everything in yours, why do you have to have more? So that we see is he's inherently envious. It's not that Duryodhana is fine and he somehow or another happens to be envious in this situation. He's always envious. "Who can help me achieve such influence? Fate is supreme and men's exhortations are useless." Right here he's saying the thing is that it doesn't matter what you do, fate's going to make it work out the way it is, so why do we even bother? But you'll see is that if he thinks it's going to go his way, he works very hard. But when it doesn't go his way, then he'll sit back and, oh, what is faith? Because I made my endeavor, why didn't it work out? He's not seeing it. Well, maybe it's a bad plan, maybe envy is not a good thing, maybe in previous lives he's behaved badly, so that's why now he's getting these results. "All my efforts to destroy the Pandavas have failed. Instead, they flourish like lotuses in a lake," right? Because lotus is really like water. "So, therefore, I should die. Know that I am in the grip of grief, uncle, and please inform my father." Shakuni moved closer to his nephew. "Do not envy the Pandavas, my son. They are receiving what is rightfully theirs due to their own deeds. They have their half of the kingdom, and with Krishna's help and Draupad's alliance, they have grown rich. What is there to be sorry about? That means they've done the right thing, and they're just getting the results. The Gandhar ruler smiled as he spoke. His eyes narrowed slightly as he fingered his jeweled rings. Your cousins have conquered the world and now possess limitless wealth. Why do you grieve? This wealth can now become yours. You said there are none to help you, but I do not agree. You have 100 brothers, the greatly powerful Drona, Karna, and the invincible chariot warrior Kripa, and my brothers along with the mighty Somadatta stand ready at your command. Take the earth and rule it without rival. He's saying, who's going to help me with this? And he says, why are you grieving? You know, why you're upset that they have so much wealth? Now they've collected all this wealth from around the world. And so now you can just take that and be, you know, do very well. You know, you shouldn't see it as a bad thing. Duryodhana stared at his uncle. He sat up straight on the leather upholstered seat. Perhaps his uncle was right. The court of his strength was hard to revile. Drona, Bhishma, Kripa, Karna, who could face these men when they stood together in battle? Duryodhana spoke eagerly. O king, if you think it wise, then I shall conquer the Pandavas. The whole world shall be mine, along with the magnificent Maya Sabha. Sakuni slowly shook his head. He played with a set of dice he carried with him everywhere. Do not be rash. There are many ways to overcome an enemy apart from battle. We cannot conquer in battle the Pandavas, especially when they are united with Krishna. Not even Indra with all the celestials could overpower them, right? Because we had the burning of the Kandava forest, and the celestials came, and just Arjuna alone then defeated them. You know, let alone we have Krishna and his other brothers there. I was thinking of another way by which they can be defeated. Shakuni suggested they challenge Yudhishthir to a game of dice. He knew Yudhishthir was fond of playing and also that he was not expert. At dice, Shakuni had no equal anywhere in the world. Without a doubt, Yudhishthir will accept your challenge, Shakuni continued, his arm resting on Duryodhana's shoulders. He cannot resist the game. And with a little encouragement, he will surely gamble away all his possessions. Thus, I will win for you his entire kingdom and wealth. As they entered Hastinapur, Duryodhana suggested that they go at once to Dhritarashtra and get his permission for the plan. Arriving before the blind king, Shakuni said, O great monarch, where is your son Duryodhana? He is pale and emaciated with grief. You should ask him the cause and try to find a remedy. Right, so instead of just coming in and say, your son this and that, he says, oh, you should find your son, he's, you know, this, that. So already the concern is there, because if he just comes in and says the plan, he may say, oh, no, that's foolish. But if you already created this mood of you know, caring and compassion, then you can present it, and then now it has meaning, right? The context is there. Dhritarashtra was surprised. Why are you sad, my son? You have at your disposal everything enjoyable, no less than the gods. Vast wealth, the best of clothes, the finest food, beautiful women, all these await your pleasure. How then have you become depressed? Duryodhana at once admitted that he was consumed by jealousy of the Pandavas. Even though he had wealth, his enemy's wealth was superior. But his father's pointed out, you have enough of everything. You know, it's like you have everything that anybody could want. So, But Duryodhana's point is, no, but they have more. But the point is, you're comfortable now, you're enjoying now. No, but he has more. You know, so that's the difficulty. The Kaurava then described his father what he had seen in Indraprastha. During the sacrifice, Yudhishthira was given so much tribute that it became necessary to turn some of it away. He had been offered millions of elephants, horses, cows, and camels. Heaps of gems and golden ornaments were stacked up like mountains. The Pandava provided 30 servant maids for each of 88,000 snatic Brahmins. He arranged to feed 100,000 Brahmins at a time during the sacrifice, and when they were fed, conches were blown. Oh, father, I have heard those conches sounding all through the sacrifice. So it was just constantly going like that. They would 100,000 be fed, and then when it's clear, ready, the next batch would come in, and then 100,000 would be fed, like that, it would just go all day. Duryodhana told the king how he had even seen the gods at their Rajasuya. Samudra, the ocean deity, had personally offered Yudhishthir celestial ambrosia drawn from the depths of the sea. This beverage is superior even to the soma rasa that Indra enjoys. It was impossible for Duryodhana to describe to his blind father all that he had seen. His words came with difficulty, and his heart burned with the fire of envy. So he was having trouble saying it. Not that it means one is you can't describe it because there was so much volume, but as he's describing it, he's just getting more and more envious. So just his emotions become so strong, it becomes very, very difficult for him to actually speak. Dhritarashtra remained silent. Then Shakuni spoke. O king, I know a means by which your son may win all this wealth for himself. I propose that you invite Yudhishthir to a game of dice. No one can defeat me at dice. I will win easily. In this way we shall acquire all that Yudhishthir possesses. Duryodhana leaned forward. Father, please grant us your permission to carry this out. Let us conquer our enemies and enjoy this earth. Dhritarashtra was uncertain. Let me consult the wise Vidura. He will only advise us for our own good. Vidura will certainly block our plan, Duryodhana replied. And if he does, then I shall take my own life. Then you and Vidura may live here happily. What need do you have for me anyway? He was being sarcastic, but it's actually a good point. There is no need for Duryodhana, right? But because Duryodhana, then you have this plan that all the demoniac kings of the earth at one time will be killed at the battle of Kurukshetra. Because otherwise Krishna could fight with each one and there'd be, you know, all these little stories. But then you bring them all together, you have a really big story. Right? So people are still today talking about the battle of Kurukshetra. Dhritarashtra was pained. Duryodhana was his most dear son. How could he ever refuse his requests? The king decided he would talk with Vidura and convince him. He then ordered that a palatial hall be constructed for the match. It should have 1,000 pillars and 1,000 gates, covering 2 square miles. It should be set with countless gems. When it was complete, they could invite the Pandavas for the game, right? Because they want to show that they can build something really nice also, right? They have the Maya Sabha, and we have this nice 1,000-pillared Mandapa. Dhritarashtra was still uneasy. He knew the evils of gambling. Because Dharmashastra Manu mentions that one should be very careful about this. The king should be very careful about gambling because we see it destroyed Yudhishthir's position and also Nala, King Nala, his position. So all these things then are given in the Dharmashastra that the king should avoid all these things. It means they may, if they're, because it's a challenge, therefore they take part, but you shouldn't get too involved because otherwise it causes so much problem. So Dhritarashtra was uneasy. He knew the evils of gambling. He called for Vidura and said, I have decided to invite the Pandavas for a friendly game of dice with my sons. They can gamble a little and thus sport together. I am building a fine hall for their pleasure. Right, a fine hall, a 2-mile by 2-mile hall. It's 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. That's not a small hall. Like, why would they build that just for them to come in a little dice and all that? Vidura frowned. I do not approve of this, O king. Gambling will always bring with it dispute and fighting. You should be careful that no dissension arises between your sons and the Pandavas, for that may cause destruction. Dhritarashtra tried to reassure his brother. When you, me, Bhishma, and Drona are there, what evil can befall us? In any event, destiny is supreme. So he's seeing, again, the destiny is supreme. Says, oh, it's nothing we can do about it. But here he's making an endeavor for the whole gambling match, arrange everything like that. And him making the endeavor, then he blames it now on destiny. Oh, what can we do? I'm doing this destiny. If it goes wrong, oh, what is the meaning of that? It's all destiny's fault. So in any case, they always point out destiny, right? If it's wrong. And if it's right, then, you know, I was courageous, I used my intelligence, I made the proper endeavor, so. Whatever has been ordained by the supreme power will come to pass, which is true. What can our efforts do to avert it? Means you can follow Krishna's directions. I have already arranged for this gambling match for my son's pleasure. Please do not change my mind. Vidura sighed. Fate is surely all-powerful, right? Because these guys just have to do something wrong. And so it's just the way their nature is. So you can see, yes. O king, but we nevertheless receive the results of our own acts. In other words, yes, fate is all-powerful. Everything runs by that. But you're getting the results. The fate means you're getting the results of your action. So if Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana act out of envy, they will get the results of envy. Just like Yudhishthira acted out of devotion to Krishna and you know, piety, and he's getting the results of that. It is the consequences of our acts that are inevitable, right? Not the acts themselves. See, I can choose what act I do, but once I act, that's the result I'll get. Just like, let's say, I go into the kitchen and I put a pot on the fire, you know, a pan on the fire, and in the pan I put some potatoes. So that act itself, I could decide whether I'm putting potatoes in there or cauliflowers in there or whatever I want in there. But the point is, once I've committed myself to that act, now the result, now that's fate. Right? When I finish cooking, there will be potatoes in the pan. I can't throw potatoes in the pan and think that I'm going to end up with spaghetti or something. No, you're going to get potatoes. You know, so that's the whole thing. Is that they use the philosophy to just bend it according to, you know, make it look all right for them. My lord, consider carefully your motives in allowing this gambling match. Dhritarashtra remained silent, and Vidura slowly left his chamber with a heavy heart. He could understand that Kali Yuga, the dark age of quarrel and suffering, was beginning. The gambling match would certainly set in motion events that would lead to the annihilation of the world's rulers. Vidura remembered the Rajasuya and the kings who had supported Shishupal against Krishna. He was apprehensive, but he felt helpless. Although the king was not a fool, his covetous and mean-minded son controlled him. Vidura's counsel, although meant for the good of all, was falling on deaf ears. Yes, and so now then we'll see how they get everything arranged and then how they take up the dice game. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry.